T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, friends, welcome to the program. It's Bowerly Hour 3, Hourly with Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're listening to the David Bellavia program, you heard the coverage of President Biden in town. If we get the opportunity, we will replay what the president had to say. I think he said exactly what needed to be said. He did not over-politicize it, nor did Senator Schumer. And frankly, Mayor Brown, I just want to thank, I do not live within the city, but Mayor Brown and I are well acquainted with each other in a very friendly way and have been for many, many years. And I'm so glad that you guys wrote in Byron Brown, because having Byron Brown, David said this too, but I had the same thought, having Byron Brown as the representative of our city in this particular moment, I think is a real asset, because the man exudes dignity. There are some people who just exude dignity. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading about the JFK assassination recently, and I've had a chance to speak with him, and we'll get him on the show eventually. But Buell Frazier is the guy who gave Oswald the ride to work the Friday of the assassination. That man exudes dignity. And there's another fellow who used to be Secret Service, just recently got pardoned by President Biden, Abraham Bolden, who got sent to prison on a frame-up. Despite everything he's been through, the injustices, he was the first quote-unquote black Secret Service agent on presidential detail. Mr. Bolden exudes dignity, and Mayor Brown exudes dignity. I cannot tell you, and I'm sure you've met him. If you live around here, you have to have run into him at some point. Whenever we see the mayor, he is always a consummate gentleman. He is always just a good fellow, and he makes his way around. He's not pretentious. He is not arrogant. He is a truly dignified man. Are we going to agree on everything? Come on. Do you agree with your husband on everything? But as far as mayor of Buffalo, let me just say this much. Our relationship is such that after he won the election, he did not have to do it. He came to the radio station to be here live to talk with us on the radio. He could have done it on the phone. He chose to do it live. And he has been doing such an amazing job as a representative of all of us in Western New York. Let's go back to the calls. And folks, right now, and we can expand this, I guess, as we move on, but I want to know how you are doing. And I'm doing that because I've been restless since Saturday. And David Bellavia, who does our 10 to 2, he is a Medal of Honor recipient. He's been in the heart of battle in Fallujah. He's seen a lot of really horrible, horrible things. I have seen many horrible things, but certainly not in the same league with David Bellavia, obviously. But you do this long enough, you cover enough news stories, and unfortunately, you see things you can't really unsee. But I will confess to you that as far as a local news story, this one has caused me to be restless. And in a way, I must tell you that I'm glad that I'm feeling something, because I think empathy is a very good and human emotion. If you cannot feel empathy for the people who are no longer with us and their survivors who are so acutely hurting, you need to look in the mirror and maybe do a little self-assessment. Empathy is a very important human quality. It really is. And that's why I just get so upset when I hear people who just try to divide us from each other and see the world literally and figuratively in black and white, and don't see what I see out there in the world. Just one quick story as an example of the America that I love. Mrs. Nerd plays badminton competitively. She's quite good. And there are very few, quote-unquote, white people who play badminton. Most of the players are from the Indian subcontinent or from the Indonesia, that part of the world, south, you know, the Pacific. And many of them are Muslim. Her partners for doubles, mixed doubles, is Muslim. There are a lot of Muslims playing badminton at Rally Niagara. And you know what happened over Ramadan? I mentioned this several times during Ramadan, but I want to point it out as an example of why I'm an American nationalist, because I respect and love the contributions that we have all made to this unique American culture. The badminton players at Rally Niagara, who were not Muslim, they signed up to take the later court times so the Muslims could get their badminton in and then go home and eat. Because during Ramadan, if you are an observant Muslim, not only do you not eat during the daylight hours, you don't drink, not even water. So that kind of cultural understanding, I'd call it sacrifice, but it's like when you read the story of a Jew who volunteers to work for a Christian on Christmas Day, or a Muslim who does. It's a good feeling, and that's the best of America. And you know, we've overcome so much, and we've made such tremendous progress. And this idea that we are all living in separate enclaves and we don't hang out with each other, I object to that. And I don't think it's malicious, but I do think it's divisive. I really do. And just people need to be, including myself, need to be very circumspect with what they say. Let's go back to Ron in West Seneca. Ron, continue. You are obviously, as we said earlier, you are a person with empathy.
Oh, of course, Tom. I absolutely, but I'm sorry. Yes, and I feel that the system has failed the 10 victims. I feel that the system has failed the young man because he was committed. And you know, there are a lot of people out there, Tom, that are moaning and groaning, and they're calling him names and this and that. I understand that. I mean, however, what if we come to find out that he was mentally unstable and not responsible for his actions? It's just like, Tom, you go to a place to get gas and you want your vehicle to run really well, but you get some bad gas and it starts spitting and sputtering, right? Well, think of the brain as the same way. It can spit and sputter if it's not treated with care.
Well, I just want to address a couple of things. I'm not a lawyer, but I think this originated with the British common law, the Macnaughton principle. And basically, criminal insanity means you did not know what you were doing was wrong at the time you were doing it. He does not, by any metric, fit the measure of being criminally insane. He planned it.
We don't know that yet. You know, Tom, we don't know that yet. I'm just saying, Tom, I'm not arguing with you and I'm not disagreeing with you.
All right, I'll qualify that by saying, given what we think we know about the planning and the reconnaissance that went into it, I feel safe in saying I don't think he meets the criteria for being criminally insane, although you're correct, that's certainly not an established fact. As far as the situation with the firearms, that is why I'm so glad we got Max and Jim Tresmond in studio, because one thing about lawyers is every lawyer has specialties. And as far as firearms laws, nobody is better than the Tresmonds. And I had the feeling yesterday, but it was a feeling, the Tresmonds explained the fact that somebody, there's a high probability that somebody at the hospital who evaluated him may have opened themselves up to some pretty massive civil liability.
Look, Tom, I just want to ask you a question, and you're an honest guy, and I respect you. If this person, this monster, as many of them had called him, identified him as such, if he were in a vehicle and he drove his car through a crowded bus stop and he killed 10 people of color, right, would we still be having this conversation?
Oh, absolutely.
We would.
Absolutely. We had a lot of conversations after the Boston Marathon bombing, in which the pressure cookers were used. We had a lot of conversations after a rental truck with ammonium nitrate fertilizer blew up the Murrah Federal Building. The means of violence is simply the means. It doesn't talk about the motive or the opportunity. Go ahead.
And it's not going to change, Tom. You know that. You're a smart guy. I just said that. The laws of physics, Mother Nature, it's not going to change, Tom. They're going to be evil. It's going to exist, and it's going to continue on for probably a lifetime, Tom. You know it. We can't change it.
I want to hear what other people have to say. I hope that you're wrong. I fear that you are correct. And the question is, you know, what do we do to prevent it? Because one thing we do know, that if somebody feels aggrieved, whether it's against the government or a group, they'll use whatever means necessary to carry out horrific acts. And the corollary to that is, I don't believe we will ever fully understand why. How many years since Columbine? I still don't know why they did it. How many years since Aurora? I have no idea. Do you? Nobody knows, and that's very frustrating. So a lot of people have brought up a lot of interesting things today. I've had people on hold that I want to get to, and then I'll, without bloviating, I'll get to some more. You know, I want to use some of what has been said already on the show to generate additional calls to the show. Let's go to Marcus in Middleport. Marcus, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing there? As far as that guy is concerned, and other people think like that, it seems like it's almost like a backwards, some kind of jealousy or potential jealousy in the Western Hemisphere, other than the Native Americans. No people have been treated like black people. And every time they seem to prove them wrong, somebody wants to kill them. They were murdered just trying to read and write. People have been murdered just getting a library card, and on, right up to modern day. They told them they couldn't fly propeller planes, but they were the best pilots in World War II against German jet aircraft.
Yeah, they were shooting down the 262s with the P-51s. You're talking about the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, yeah. And even before that, a African-American woman, Bessie Coleman. She flew before Amelia Earhart, and she was the first American, male or female of any color, got a civilian air license. But we're not taught that in history. We're taught that these people can't do this, they can't do that.
I don't know that that's part of the curriculum at all.
No, it's not taught. I learned this in the U.S. Air Force.
But as far as those people can't do this, those people can't do that, I never learned that. That was even back in the dinosaur era. I don't think that's a correct statement, but as far as the focus on the accomplishments of our black brothers and sisters, see, the only problem, and please, I want you to listen carefully to what I have to say, because I don't want it taken the wrong way. The only issue I have with Black History Month is Black history is American history, and American history is Black history. Our Black brothers and sisters have made incalculable contributions to the welfare of this country. And it should just be accepted that, my goodness, that they, the you mentioned the Tuskegee Airmen.
Right.
There should be, I mean, first of all, our kids aren't even taught that much about World War II. I mean, it's amazing to me, and I don't mean to get off into the weeds here on you, Marcus. It's amazing to me how little many young people in America know about history. For some reason, it came up the other night when I was out that I am friends with Lee Harvey Oswald's girlfriend. And somebody at the bar said, "Who's that?" And like, I had to explain it. And I was not a jerk. I was not arrogant. I had to explain it.
Well, I'm in my 50s, and I remember growing up here in Niagara County. I was on a bus with a Hebrew kid. And these are between European people, and the girl looked at that kid like he stepped off a flying saucer. I said, "If he looked at him like that, how do you look at me?" I said, "I don't know where that come from. We're in the north. We're not in Mississippi."
You know, hold on, Marcus. I'd like to continue this because that's very interesting. Because you know, there was a time, if you're of a certain age, where you know, I grew up in the town of Tonawanda, which was 99.9999% white, and as I said earlier, as you get older, life opens up new doors to you. And if you would have told the 5-year-old Tommy, the people to whom I would be closest to as I approach 60, I would have said, "Well, how will I ever meet them?" And I still remember the first time I saw some of my Black brothers. I mean, keep in mind, I was 2 or 3 years old. And I might get into that later, only as an educational exercise, hopefully to demonstrate that we have traveled some distance, okay? It is 427 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll be here tomorrow, and then Thursday and Friday, I got to have another surgery done on my eye, and I will be off. But as I like to say, I'll keep an eye out for you. This monocular stuff is not for me, believe me. But there are worse things in the world, my friends. There always are people who have a lot more going on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It is Bowerly 438 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Hope you had a good day at work. President in town today. I thought he hit pretty much the right notes. Even Chuck Schumer was tolerable today. But to me, the person who is, I think, best represented the city of Buffalo and therefore all of us in Western New York has been the mayor, Byron Brown. I just think he has been an extraordinary representative of the city of Buffalo and Western New York. Now, you know, there are some politicians who, as I said, I don't think they get out too much, because even in a place, just imagine in your mind, if you will, the village of Williamsville. You take a nice night in the spring or the summertime and you walk up and down the street and you look into the windows of the various establishments and you'll see people who don't look like each other hanging out, clearly close and clearly friends. It was not like that for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us growing up. I lived in town of Tonawanda, which was just 99.9999% white. And I'm only going to tell you this story as an illustration of how far we have come. Please don't judge the 58-year-old guy who's going to tell you the story. I want you to look at this through my 2 or 3-year-old eyes, okay? 1966, whatever. So there's a softball game going on at Lincoln Park in Tonawanda. And I was a little kid holding onto my mom's hand. And it must have been the first time I had ever seen my black brothers in person. And very loudly, I said to my mom, "Mommy, don't those men take baths?" My mother was mortified, mortified. And then she explained to me, you know, what the way you would explain to a 2 or 3-year-old why people look different. I doubt that there are any 2 or 3-year-olds in the last 30 years who have made such an ignorant statement. And that's what it was. It was ignorant. I didn't know any better. I was 2 or 3 years old. And there were not as many of our black brothers and sisters on TV or movies as there are today. And I think they used to put me to sleep anyway at 7 or 8 o'clock at night just to get rid of me. My parents, that is. Here, Tom, take a Benadryl. But anyway, that is how far we have come. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that story, but I know that I know that it was taken in the right spirit, and I thank you for that. It's just an illustration of the fact that we're a different society now. I mean, it wasn't that far from the time period where James Meredith had a hard time making it into school, where black churches were being firebombed in the South and little girls were being killed in other terrorist attacks. The Mississippi burning era was not that far away. So thank God, or thank goodness, whatever your belief system happens to be, that we have advanced way beyond that. And I do not buy the idea that, well, if you are a so-called white person, you can never have a truly meaningful friendship with a so-called black person because you don't understand the struggle. I vehemently disagree with that, vehemently. And I'm not going to get into all of my friends, but, you know, let's just say that it's a pretty wide-ranging group of folks. All orientations, all races, all religions, and this all started... Oh, the guy hung up on us. Oops. This all started when the guy was talking about a Jewish kid and in Niagara County way back when, on the school bus, and one of his little classmates looked at the Jewish kid, presumably wearing a yarmulke, as if he was an alien. And, you know, sometimes kids can be cruel and heartless and mean and nasty. And other times, children can just be ignorant, as I was at Lincoln Park. And I'm asking you right now how you are dealing with what happened on Saturday. And maybe I shouldn't do this, but my confession to you is I have been very restless, very restless. And that is what we talked about last night at great length at a certain establishment on Genesee Street. Was out with my friend Bill Mason, who's a drummer in a number of local bands. Gentleman named Scooter sat down with us, talked with a young lady named Shelley, who is very close to one of the individuals who is still in the hospital. And, oh, by the way, that's something else that needs to be said, and then I'm going to get right back to the calls. You know, we sometimes think, well, if somebody wasn't killed in a shooting or a traumatic event, they're going to be okay. I don't know all the particulars, but I do know that there are people who will need additional surgeries, and that's just the physical component. The mental component of what those good people at Tops experienced on Saturday is going to be that's going to be a marathon, okay? Nobody is prepared to see what happened there, all right? Even the first responders who have seen some grisly things are going to be affected by this. I mean, you try not to be. There was a time when you wouldn't allow it to show. And then that brings up the other issue of, and this is a concern. Well, if I say that I'm really upset by what I saw, am I going to be put on desk duty? Am I going to have my gun put in a locker for a while? You know, there is still a stigma attached to admitting that, you know, what we saw really upset us. And that's really a shame. That's really a shame. But the wounds themselves, the physical wounds, can ruin your life or can adversely affect the quality of your life for many years. The psychological wounds to the first responders and the crime scene people and the survivors who loved the people who never came home, those wounds are going to be marathons. And here's the problem in my experience. You're never going to hit the finish line. Never. The acuteness of it will wear away, but it's never going to leave you. They'll always be a part of you. And hopefully, as somebody said earlier today, there will come a time when you think of the person you lost and you'll be able to smile before the tears start to come. But that's a long way away. It is. And this thing, one of the points I've been trying to emphasize is the ripples of this act of terror. The ripples go so far beyond Jefferson Avenue, because especially in Buffalo, New York, we are all so intimately connected. You know, we think there's this big gulf, G-U-L-F, this big gulf or a wall, and there isn't. And I've been restless. It's not post-traumatic stress. It is just a feeling of, I guess, feeling just horrible for the people who got that notification on Saturday. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Aaron is in Toronto. Aaron, hello.
Hey, Tom. I don't know to take this conversation from that profanity. You were saying some really deep words there, and I thank you for everything you just said. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go off topic for a second and say, like, when you were talking about not being able to empathize or relate because you're not from the same culture or group that we're talking about, as a person growing up with addiction, when I went to recovery, one of the problems I had with my counselors were they didn't come from addiction. They had sober lives, but in my opinion, they didn't know what sobriety was. And when I look back at that, it was a really naive, ignorant child in me that believed that these people could not possibly add value or help me because they didn't know, because they didn't experience what I came from. But
well, you know, when I'm speaking of empathy, I'm not talking about empathy toward another group that doesn't look like you. I'm talking about basic, generalized human empathy, and I'm trying to figure out some kind of a construct around which we can maybe start to come up with some answers. I said evil yesterday. Somebody sent me an email saying, Tom, evil is a religious, mythological, fairy tale concept. The scientific, logical explanation is people who commit these acts do it because they cannot empathize with the suffering of other people. I need to put you on hold again. It's that time of the day, Aaron, on WBEN. Don't go anywhere. Now, for those who don't know, Aaron is a regular caller to the show. And if you're not a regular caller to the show, I'd like to hear from you as well. And it's been a question that ordinarily you guys would not be very happy with, but I think it's entirely appropriate. And it is simply this: how are you coping with this? What has the effect of this been on you? And people have brought up many points during the show. I don't want to take more time by going over the great points that have been brought up, but if you've heard something that has touched you, by all means, call 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to Aaron in Toronto on WBEN. Aaron, we're talking about how folks are doing after Saturday. Everybody has been deeply, deeply affected. And you know what? As sad as it is, I'm gratified to see that people have empathy. I really am. That's a good quality to have. Go ahead with what you wanted to say.
Yeah, so like to get onto the topic, and what I would say is I felt horrible when I heard what happened just, you know, eyesight across Lake Ontario from me. I was petrified by it. But what I began thinking is, especially after reading the manifesto that was released, I read it and it was like, this doesn't sound like how this 18-year-old would have written. To me, people don't say things like, I was first sensationalized when I saw blank, and I started... Maybe I'm getting cynical and jaded, but when you put things like what happened to Governor Whitmer, and you brought up Tuskegee experiments, you bring up someone like Lee Harvey Oswald, there's a lot of nefariousness around the American government. And I'm just wondering, is it possible that this is some sort of, you know, calculated, meticulous event that is to direct conversation towards gun control and racism?
You're talking about an MK Ultra mind control situation. I would put that at the fringe of possibility. My understanding is that he didn't actually write the manifesto. Wait, Josh is looking at me like he wants to add something, but that it was basically plagiarized from a number of different places.
Okay. Well,
the young man, look, the young man clearly has a high IQ, but having a high IQ and having a sense of humanity are two entirely different things. I mean, Hitler probably had a high IQ. Human being? I think not.
Well, to go to your thing about empathy and compassion, like, I think they're very separate things. Like, I can empathize with a lot of people. I'm not necessarily compassionate with them. So I can understand where you're coming from. Like with this guy right here, I can empathize with what he did, but I would never be compassionate for him. Do you get what I mean, Tom?
Well, I do. And, you know, what you're saying, this also came up yesterday when I was talking with a gentleman. And I know that this is going to be a very large pill for people to swallow, but I'm going to put it out there. I don't want to use the shooter's name, but it's the individual who shot the people he was praying with in Charleston, South Carolina, around Easter a few years ago. And I actually totally changed the topic of my show that day and talked about it. Before the services had even been arranged, before the homecoming had even been planned for those victims of that young terrorist gunman, the families of the victims in a closed circuit video feed were saying things like, you took my father from me, but Jesus said to forgive. So I forgive you and I will pray for you. And this went on person after person. And as far as Christianity is concerned, I will tell you, it was some of the most remarkable display, one of the most remarkable displays of real Christianity I've ever seen in my world. These people had just had their entire universes pulled from under their feet, and they went to their faith, and they didn't just preach, they practiced. And I was awestruck at the dignity of those victims' families. And I don't know where the people who lost loved ones in Buffalo are on this. I think forgiveness is If it's not impossible, it's very, very difficult. And obviously in South Carolina, given the venue of the shooting, you were likely to have a very strong faith situation. But it was one of the most, I'll use the word miraculous things I've ever seen. It was riveting, and it was beautiful. I mean, here is this young man who killed their family members, and he's on the video closed circuit, and the people whose lives he just destroyed were saying, as a Christian, I love you. I'll pray for you. It was mind-blowing. And I don't know, we're probably a long way from that with this situation. Again, I guess I don't know where to go from there, but I thank you for your call.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks. I mean, as far as things like mind control, MK Ultra, okay, so I put that at the, I approach life with Occam's razor, as many of you know. When you're faced with a situation you do not understand, you start with the most logical explanation first, and then you work your way to the less logical explanations. But as I've said repeatedly over the past few days, guys, problem is, how many years since Columbine? Do you know any more about the motive or the sickness now than you did the day it happened? I don't. Aurora, Colorado, same thing. That suspect is alive. We still don't know why, and we may never know why. Because you just, some things are, I think, beyond understanding. Is it evil? Is it an inability to empathize? I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.